Hey, what's up, Every Nation? I want to draw us close to where we are going today. Today is a bit different. We're not going to preach a sermon, but we're going to allow the testimonies of different people to be the sermons today. This is so important. After going through an amazing series of about 14 weeks in the book of Exodus, I really feel like it's important for us to hear people's stories about their own exoduses, how God has taken them out of stuff. It might not have ended in perfection. It might still be in a process. It might still be a wilderness. But man, we can all be thankful for the fact that we are out of Egypt. So today we're going to hear different testimonies of people sharing their Exodus stories. And I'm trusting that this will encourage you as you continue to hear God, follow God. But I'm hoping that it will remind you of God's faithfulness. That as much as God brought the people of Exodus out of their Egypt, so God continues, even today, to bring ordinary people like you and I out of our Egypts. So I hope you enjoy this session today, this message, and these testimonies. And I really hope that the Spirit of God would speak to you directly about your journey with Him.
Hi, everyone. My name is Vanessa, and this is my Exodus story. But before I go into my story, I would like to take you back to its genesis. So about 4 years ago, I was in an amazing relationship with an incredible man. We had met through mutual friends after I had received a transfer to the city that he was living in at the time. Our relationship was absolutely amazing. I have never been so happy in my life, and I thought that it had honored God in many different ways. We really strived to ensure that we maintained our purity and that we constantly fought to grow in intimacy with God, purely so that we could know how to treat each other. We were actually also planning a wedding in the Midlands. However, I got a call one Saturday morning to say that he had passed away. He had collapsed and died on a job. And that was the beginning of my Egypt experience. As the slave drivers were breaking the bodies of the Israelites, so was my heart breaking each day as I realized the reality of his death. They were bad days, really bad days. And there were days when I would ask God to take my life because it was really hard to continue. And I remember pleading with God, please take my life, because it was really, really hard. And you know, I would walk around with this heavy ball in my chest. And I almost just felt like the heaviness or the just the brokenness of my soul would just lead me to death anyway. And I knew that I couldn't take my own life, so I just was just in a state of, Lord, I'm ready. Anytime you want me to go, I'm ready. So anyway, for a long time, I had a hard time describing to God what exactly it was that I was feeling. And I remember days when I would hear songs about being let down. I would be in a mall and I'd hear a song about being let down, and a random TV show would come on and I'd hear a song about being let down, and on the radio going somewhere, I'd hear a song about being let down. And there was just this constant theme about being let down. And I remember one night sitting and listening to a sermon by Tim Keller, and he was preaching on Elijah and how Elijah felt that God had let him down after he didn't continue performing the miraculous signs that he was performing. And then I realized that was it. I felt that God had let me down. I felt that God had basically disappointed me. I thought I was going to get married to this beautiful man who I'd met and I was just so in love with. And then that didn't happen. God said no. And I felt that he really let me down. And I felt so disappointed. I felt extremely disappointed. And I think just looking back at this sermon series, I remembered a part when Moses also went through his own disappointment. And And it's in Exodus 5, verse 22 to 23. I'll read in just a moment. But what happened was, basically, Moses and Aaron had gone to Pharaoh to ask Pharaoh to let the people go. And Pharaoh had said no. Instead, what he did was force them to work harder by making sure that they don't have straw available, that they would have to go fetch their own straw, but still produce the same amount of bricks that day. And then Moses goes to God and says this. Exodus 5, verse 22. Why, Lord, have you brought such trouble on this people? Is this why you have sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on his people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. And I realized at this point that Moses was disappointed that God hadn't done what he expected him to do. Moses thought that he'd go to Pharaoh, ask him to let God's people go, and then Pharaoh would agree, and then they would get out of Egypt. But that didn't happen. Instead, Pharaoh forced harder labor on the Israelites. And at this point, Moses was extremely disappointed. And going through the series, I realized, or it reminded me of my own disappointment. And 4 years after feeling very disappointed by God, feeling that he let me down, I realized as I was coming out of my Egypt, once I had discovered or pinpointed that indeed I felt disappointment, that God had actually shown his hand through the process. I mean, Egypt was really hard, really, really hard, and coming out of Egypt was hard, but I have really seen how God has worked in my life through this whole experience, how he has worked in my character and how he has worked to build my relationship with him. So my encouragement to you, wherever you are in the story, whether you are in Egypt, whether you are making your exodus out of Egypt, my encouragement to you is this, that at some point you will see the hand of the Lord, that he indeed will show his hand in your situation. May God bless you, and I thank you.
Hi, my name is Joel, and this is my exodus. About 15 or 16 years ago, I vowed to my family and friends that I was never going to set my foot in a church building. I started living my life as I pleased. I started drinking, I started clubbing, and I started doing all sorts of things that the young people did. On top of that, I started chasing a lot of wealth and money, and I also attached this to my identity. So the more money I would make, the more I felt alive. And my family members then gave me a name. I was now called Uncle Dollars, because I would really make the dollars rain every time there was a family gathering. 2019, everything that I felt started crumbling. I lost my job. I lost everything that I had, all the property that I had accumulated, I lost them. And when I was losing all this, I decided to join a church through my fiance. She sent me a video, and when I watched that video, the video was about Stephen Marsh, it was a marriage tutorial. And after watching that video, I then told my fiance that I'm going to quit drinking, starting from now, and I want to get baptized. And she couldn't believe, but I then had experienced something watching that video that told me that there is only one higher power on earth, which was God. And if I was aligned to God, then everything else that I'm doing is sinking sand. And since 2019, after losing my job, I've always had the mindset that if I have money, my sense of being come to life. But because of all this, I haven't been able to provide for myself. And through grace, through mercies, I've come out of situations that I never imagined I could actually come out. And I likened this situation to the story of the Israelites. When God took the Israelites out of Egypt, God provided the Israelites with manna, with good life, and giving the Israelites, providing them with everything that they need, which is exactly what was happening in the situation of mine. I have mercy and found favor with my landlord. I was late on my rent sometimes, and my landlord would, you know, my landlord doesn't really ask. I explained my situation to them, and there's been understanding for the past year. I'm still living in this wilderness. I haven't yet reached the promised land, but what I've learned in this time, in this whole year, is that God is the ultimate provider for everything that I need. Be it money, be it food, the church has come through, some of my friends have come through, and some of my family members have come through for me to provide everything that I need. And all this is because God is coming through for my life. The one standing out moment for me in this whole Exodus series is when I got to realize that when God comes, there's absolutely nothing that anybody can do to stop God's time. God left me alone for a good 15 years. But when he decided that it's time that Joel comes back to church and worship me, everything that I surrounded myself with started to crumble. And there was just one thing that was left, which is God. I grew up in a Christian family. It's very religious, a lot of rules and everything. And because I have this Christian background in my life, I knew for a fact that it was time for me to start going to church. I started worshiping slowly, asking a lot of questions why I don't understand. And I'm learning, and I'm learning as I'm going. I haven't come out of my wilderness. I'm still going to the promised land which God wants me to reach. And I'm happy that God is nurturing me and is nurturing me to be a better human being, a better fiancé and a better father. As you, most of you all know, me and my fiancé adopted a daughter, and it is only through God's grace that I'm actually being able to take care of her. Being there for Cheminkosi, and I don't think I'll be able to do that if I was chasing money and wealth and living my life as it is. So basically, this is my testimony. This is my exodus. I hope we all can understand that God is still doing, taking people through the wilderness, through the refinements. Even this day and age, it wasn't just a thing of long ago, but God is still doing it now. Amen. Cheers.
Hi, Every Nation. My name is Mtavisi, and this is my exodus. So prior to 2020 and the lockdowns and so much chaos that we've seen happening this year, my life had always been centered around work and my studies and basketball and really just staying busy all the time. You could literally ask me what I was busy with, and sometimes I wouldn't even know what I was busy with because there was just a whole lot of things that I was getting myself involved with. Now, I thought that was good. I thought this is surely God's blessing upon my life. I thought because there were so many opportunities that came and so many chances for me to make money. I thought it was God. I thought that was God sending all these things my way. And I kept doing the stuff, eh? Now, with the kingdom of God, things work differently from the world. I assumed what I was doing was right. I assumed what I was doing was good. So surely God is okay with this. But with the kingdom of God, as long as something is not coming directly from God, if the instruction did not come from God, if God did not say you must do something, then automatically it becomes disobedience because you're pretty much doing what God didn't tell you to do. So I think for the longest, I was that person. I did a lot thinking that surely God is pleased, but I didn't take time to sit and just think if this was coming from God. Just like the children of Israel, after having crossed the Red Sea, they're now in the wilderness. They are on their way to the promised land. And as they are journeying through the wilderness, they start complaining. They get agitated for some reason, and they start complaining, telling Moses that he should have left them to be in Egypt, where at least they would have died in some proper way, not in the wilderness. And then Moses had to go up the mountain to talk to God and to get instruction for the Israel, for the people of God, just on what they were meant to do, some instructions on how they would easily now get to the promised land, you know. And as Moses was up there in the mountain talking to God, I believe the Israelites were just supposed to be patient. They were meant to wait. It was supposed to be a time of sanctification for them, where they just get to experience God. They get to experience. I mean, they had no work to do now. They had no slave work to do. So enjoy the presence of God, you know. But instead, they chose to make idols and to worship those instead of God. And I believe for the longest of the time, that's what I had been doing myself, where in my transition from where I was to where God wants to take me, I then created idols through work and way too much time on my studies and sport. And I started neglecting things like community, time spent with loved ones, and most importantly, time spent in God's presence. So fast forward, I think my biggest take from the series, Exodus, Good News for Misfits, that we've just ended now, is God is enough. God is enough to take me there. There will always be enough God to take me to where I want to be. So much of my focus has been directed to my work, but if my focus had been on God from get-go, I can only imagine how far I would have been right now. And I always joke that if the Israelites, for example, if they had enjoyed God's presence when they were in the wilderness, I can only imagine that instead of getting just the manna that they got, God would have sent through garlic bread with butter and cheese and like Nando's and stuff like that, you know. So, but now that's because God is so faithful that even when we are in our disobedience, he still protects, he still provides. And that's exactly what he did for the Israelites. And I believe that's what he has done for me as well, where even in moments where I overexerted myself in work, not necessarily doing what God told me to do, he still provided, he still opened up opportunities. But there's so much more that comes with obedience. There's just so much more that comes with just being in the presence of God and allowing God to do the work. I mean, I think another important thing that I got from the series is the importance of rest. Like, it's something that I never did myself, because I would jump onto any opportunity to work that I had. So I didn't rest as much as I had to, you know. But in Christ, in fellowship with God, in God's presence, It's not just fullness of resources that he comes with. He comes with fullness of peace, fullness of joy, and fullness of rest as well, which I really needed and which I'm now having, because I've managed to recenter myself and just try to focus on the presence of God and being in fellowship with God. Yes, I'm not in my promised land as yet. I'm still on my way there, but it's a different journey now with the presence of God there, while myself being in the presence of God and allowing him to work and to direct me and just to listen to his voice, just listen to his instruction. It's a different journey. It's less work. It's less of my own effort and just letting God work. So my biggest take from the series, Exodus, Good News for Misfits, is the need for constant alignment with Christ and knowing that he's always there with us. So that awareness of his presence at any given time, because he said he's going to be there for us. He's got my back. So that is my Exodus.
Hi, my name is Ashley, and this is my Exodus. So a few years ago, I had what many Christians would deem was a dream job, and I worked at a very large ministry. The problem was it was not my dream job, and it was not well-suited to my personality. After about a year and a half of working there, my relationship with my boss just continually dissolved and devolved into something that was very unhealthy for both of us. So we reached a point where we were barely speaking, and I was his only employee, and it was really toxic. And I was pleading with the Lord to get me out of the situation and open up new job opportunities. And then my promised land appeared in finding out that the pastors of my church were in conversations about bringing me on staff. And I was so excited. I could not wait to get out of this job that I hated. And every day was a little bit of torture, knowing that this promised land was waiting for me. And I couldn't go. I couldn't leave. No one had, you know, given the okay yet. And so in this process, which lasted 7 months of knowing that people wanted to hire me and I couldn't do it, and I had another friend talking about wanting to bring me on and hire me for her business, and nothing was happening. There was no way I could get out of this job and make things happen any faster, because I was trying everything to get people to say yes and to let me move. And in that season, the Lord said a few things. And the first one was discipline and diligence. It was the two things I was most lacking in that season of being where I did not want to be. So I was not disciplined in my work, which then caused my relationship with my boss to be even worse. And I was not diligent in any of the things I was doing. And so when the Lord said that, I knew I just had to do those things. And then the Lord gave me a vision, which was me on a plane trying to pull the emergency exit and jump off this flight mid-flight in the middle of the air. And the Lord just said, Ashley, a plane never takes off without a flight plan. And the pilot always knows when they're going to land. And if you pull that emergency exit, you're not just going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt a lot of people around you. And it just gave me so much peace in knowing that the Lord had a plan, right? I was not stuck there forever. This was not a permanent situation. The Lord had a plan to land this plane that was me in a job that I was not well suited for, and we were all miserable because of it. So 7 months later, after some of the worst working 7 months I can imagine in recent history, I was offered a job at the church and my promised land came. And let me just tell you, I am so glad that I was stuck in my Egypt for those 7 months, because I learned so much about waiting on the promises of God and waiting for the promised land and for him to land the plane and not jumping out, you know, prematurely and just praying that God had a parachute ready for me. So I hope that this encourages you in whatever season you're in, that God always has a plan and there is a promised land coming.
Hey guys, I hope you were inspired and challenged. And more than anything, I hope that the testimonies you've just heard were a great reminder of the faithfulness of God. I've been thinking about that this week, God's faithfulness. not only as we close the book of Exodus, but being reminded of stuff that God has done in my own life. The Exoduses that I've had, the Red Seas that I've crossed, the Egypts that I've left behind, the wildernesses that I have felt stuck in, the promised lands that I've had the opportunity to go in and eat of the great fruits, the giants I've had to fight. And all throughout all those stories, the common denominator, beyond just my stupidity at times, the most common denominator has always been God's faithfulness. And the reason why God's faithfulness can be something you can take to the bank, the reason why God's faithfulness can be a guarantee for you, is because of one simple reason. And I'm sure you already know what I'm going to say, and so I'm going to say it anyway. Jesus. That's why we know God is faithful. Let me give you an analogy to make this point. In the Old Testament, God made a covenant with the people of Israel. In some ways, it was almost like a handshake agreement, but way more than that. It involved blood. It involved commitment and affection. It was a deep, supernatural, covenantal agreement with another individual. But this time, God made it with an entire nation. Imagine with me that you shake the hand of someone you're coming into a partnership with. However, that person that you've shaken their hand, that person who has made that covenant along with you, they drop the ball. They don't meet up to the standards of the agreement, and they keep messing up all the time. And so what God did is, in realizing that mankind cannot sufficiently live up to the covenantal agreement that he had made with them, the people of Israel, what God did is this: he sent his son. He allowed God to become man. And that God who had become man incarnate had this flesh, this vulnerable flesh on him. He lived the life that you and I should have lived. And on the cross, he died the death that you and I deserved, and God raised him. But you see, what happened on the cross, it's as if God himself came down and Jesus stood as a representative of all of us. And God shook his own hand. I wonder if you get that for a moment. You see, God is so faithful that he has determined to fulfill your requirement of the agreement by sending his son Jesus to do what you should have done. You see, mankind sinned against God because they tried to be like God, but God made all things right with man by taking the place, by substituting himself and putting himself in the place of death on behalf of us. So, why do we know that God is faithful? We know that God is faithful because of Jesus. And on the cross, God shook his own hand and said he will fulfill the promises that he had promised us. And through the covenant made through Jesus, we know that we have a guarantee that God will do what God has said he will do. So as you've heard these testimonies, as you continue to think about your own story, know this: no matter what valley you're in, no matter what mountain you're facing, there is a faithful God who's made a covenant with you. And if you have never experienced the covenantal relationship with God that is available for all those who are willing to put their faith in Jesus Christ, I'm encouraging you today to put your faith in him, to experience this new covenant through Jesus Christ, where God himself chooses to take it upon himself to fulfill the promises he has made over your life. If that is you, I want to encourage you to cross the line right now. Make a decision. Go to the chat box or even underneath this YouTube video. Make a decision by clicking on one of the links. Make a decision to follow Jesus so that you can experience the covenantal love and the covenantal relationship of the Yahweh God of the Bible. With that being said, I want to end with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, now and forever.